What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
And that is the Highlight Gaethje, who's fighting this Saturday at Fight Night 158 in Vancouver.
All right, real quick, you Googled it, you know, so you can fix your mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, so look, it seems like Donald Cerrone's on like every other fight card. I mean, he's on a preliminary card. He's on the main event card.
He's not anything until he fights twice in one night. I want him to be on the prelim and the main event.
I mean, you know, so I kind of got confused with how many fights he has had, but his last fight was 238 against Tony Ferguson, where he blew his nose and the eye bubbled up. And
That wasn't caused by an eye poke?
No, this one was
just making sure.
No eye poke.
Bader didn't do that one.
But it was a late hit after the bell.
Yeah, so
it was. So there was a little bit of a conspiracy there.
I'm just surprised that Bader didn't get DQ'd or no contest for an eye poke on Cowboy.
He trains a thumb war, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, you got to train all muscle parts. But
I'm going to give you my take on that in a minute, which may cause my death, but I'm still going to give it.
Fight Night 151 back on May 4th, he fought Iaquinta, and he actually beat Iaquinta in a decision, five rounds.
And bought a house in the third round.
Before that, January 19th, he beat Alexander Hernandez at Fight Night 143. Before that, obviously, the 25th anniversary against Mike Perry, where he beat Perry with an armbar. So, I mean, but my question is, like, for Donald Cerrone, like, what's he fighting for so often?
Money.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I get it for like a guy like Greg Hardy coming in new, needs to fight 3, 4, 5 times in a year to show his dominance and his placement or where he believes he should be. You know, he's got something to prove.
I wanted to say something, but I didn't.
What were you going
to
say?
No, I'm not going to say it. No, I'm not going to say it.
I'm scared. But
a legitimate fighter.
You had to say it, didn't you?
You told me to say it.
but I mean, the point is, you know, for a guy like Donald Cerrone, I think with what we just saw with Poirier, I mean, is he next? Is he going to be another guy that's going to show up on all these different cards? He doesn't really have another shot at the title. He's not going to ever be in contention again. He's just going to be a good, solid fighter and a journeyman and a guy to entertain fans.
Like I've said from day one, what are these guys going to do to make money if they don't fight?
I mean, I think Poirier has the charity and building wells.
Charity doesn't make money.
Oh, you don't think Susan G. Coleman, that lady.
Are you implying?
Her salary is like $15 million a year.
No, I understand that. I understand that. And I don't believe that's what Dustin's doing.
There's money in churches. There's money in everything.
I get that. No, I get that. But I don't think what Dustin Poirier is doing, and I know a lot of people around Dustin Poirier, he's almost, he doesn't know it. Like, you know, you're trying to worm your way in to be a Harris.
Right, of course.
Which we're not going to allow.
Yeah, because I don't want to be like a sister like thing. I want to be.
But you're trying. But I feel like Dustin Poirier and I are brothers through Eve Edwards.
Okay.
Because he is a thug jitsu. He's him and Eve are blah 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 blah. Eve is my brother.
Right.
I love that guy. And matter of fact, we need to help. He sent a text message about he's doing some things on his website for his home country and, you know, the Bahamas and getting hit. And, you know, there's an Amazon list of things and if people can help, and I'll get with Eve and get some more information and details and get that out.
Send me the link. I'll put it on my socials and we'll do.
That's just, you know, through Eve, Dustin and I are brothers, but,
And I agree with you. I think he has a genuine heart. I think he really cares about his mission.
Absolutely.
He's devastated that he lost, you know, Saturday night.
I have a problem with people. I'm leaving it at that.
Right. Well, that's
I don't need to say anything
else. That's why we do the Wednesday show, is really for you to discuss like your week and how disappointed you are.
People that get upset or say things and basically bully things, like when Dustin, you know, teared up after the fight.
Right.
Guy puts his heart and soul into this.
All passion.
You know, there's a lot of things. You know, and I would go out on a limb, and you know me, and I joke over at One Buck Place about this. I don't do any research. I make my percentages up. Sure. I don't know that. But I'm going to say 96% of the people that make fun of somebody that shows emotion like that has never performed.
Oh, I've never achieved anything. They're keyboard warriors.
I'm not going to say never have achieved anything.
I'll say it. I'll say 96% of the people that are keyboard
warriors.
No, I would say warriors.
72%. But I'm saying 96% of the people have never. I'm just saying it's easy to say, oh, look at the guy. He's crying.
Paul Felder balled up in the octagon after he won. It's an emotional sport. You sacrifice fight camps. You sacrifice time from your family.
Look at the tight end, Vernon Davis. with the Redskins. Scored an unbelievable touchdown. I'm not sure how he ran through 16 people. But then when he got in the end zone, he's balling up. And people are like, they thought that he poked himself in the eye.
Like a Bader, like a Chet Congo?
Yeah, he thought he was Chet Congo, not Bader. And as it turns out, his grandfather had passed away the day before. And it just, emotions. And you know, I have no problem with somebody. I almost teared up at the beginning of the show with America the Beautiful.
Of course.
You know, it's, I don't have any problems with Dustin or anybody showing emotion when they, whether they do or they don't, but they put so much time and effort and, you know, everything on the line and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Khabib, who, let's be honest, we had to have thought differently of him after the Conor McGregor fight, jumping the fence, doing some things that, this is supposed to be a sportsmanship thing.
Does it make it better that he jumped the fence to give Dana White a hug this time?
Well, you know, there was two presidents, other presidents that were there.
Oh, really?
Presidents of countries.
Really?
That were like there and he hugged them. And no, the thing that I thought showed tremendous amount of class is after this fight that he had the wherewithal. They exchanged shirts. He put the shirt on. He said what he was going to do with the shirt, and he's going to send the money, you know, to Dustin to for his charity, for him. I mean, not that I thought badly of Khabib, because I didn't.
Right.
You know, I thought that whole thing with Conor was all Conor. I didn't have a problem, per se, with Khabib being and saying and doing and all that stuff. But for everything that he did after that fight, I thought was tremendous. And it shows what this sport is supposed to be about. When I went to UFC whatever in London, when Matt Hughes fought Carlos Newton, and there were guys, I hung out with a lot of fighters, and the one fighter got knocked out. Okay, that I hung out with,
right.
And I'll Google it and, you know, say his name. And, you know, we talked about the fight, and I asked him, I'm like, what happened? He said, well, at the last minute, somebody told me to watch out for this, which I was never going to even do, and that's how he got knocked out. He rode on the bus to the after party with the fighter who knocked him out.
Sure.
I mean, in a way, what Uriah Hall just said, it's business.
Yeah, it's business.
I don't take it personally. We can be friends. And Eve Edwards told me that once, and I said, you know what? I really don't want to be your friend then. He's like, I beat my friends up more than I do my enemies. I said, then we're really not friends. Please don't ever call
you
me
guys
a friend.
You guys are brothers. Even more violence.
I do consider him a brother.
But the same thing with rugby clubs. I mean, they go out, they beat their heads in, and then they all go party together.
I do want to just say this one thing.
Yes.
Because this will make you feel even worse.
Okay.
I've taken him to more Super Bowls than you.
Oh.
Just saying.
Well, I haven't been to a Super Bowl, so.
And he has.
So, yeah, obviously he's going to win. But I'll be at the next one in Tampa, 2021.
Okay, first of all, it's not the next one.
Oh, okay.
The next one's in Miami.
Oh, okay, well, I'll be at that one then.
And you'll be at either one you buy a ticket for.
I'll drive.
As long as you have a ticket.
Well, credential it.
No, a ticket.
Just be like, hey, the Naked Pizza Man's coming with me.
Yeah.
Plus one.
I think not. That's not how this works.
Like what your Kevin Carter Make-A-Wish Foundation. Or what if, like, the Naked Pizza Man bakes a pizza and delivers that to the table with the bucket? How much is that worth?
We can't pay you enough to stay away.
Then I'll raise the most money of the night.
I don't think I can pay you enough, you know, to stay away.
I wouldn't forget the words of my own song.
But I don't know.
Well, speaking of that, did you see Prince's remastering? They're bringing out the Prince songs and some concert editions, and they're bringing back...
Hold on a second. How is Prince doing that?
Well, he's not.
You said he is.
I mean, whoever owns the rights to his music is re-releasing unheard songs. And
okay.
Are you a fan? Fan of Prince?
Not
Prince
really.
Fan? No, he doesn't. Like really. But the Prince of Pop, what do they call it? Michael is the king, right?
I don't know.
Who's the king?
But I saw Prince at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know, he performed, and he performed for the media. You know, they didn't have it this year, which was kind of upsetting. But in years past, that was my favorite press conference. It was the halftime show. It was the pregame show. It was, and I think I've told the story about Cher and
Sonny Bono.
Gene Simmons.
Oh.
Did I ever tell you the story?
No.
All right, I can only report what was said.
Okay.
Okay. So Cher comes out. We talk to Cher, blah, 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 blah. Then Kiss comes out. We talk to Kiss.
Okay.
And somebody asked Gene Simmons if he's ever worked with Cher before.
Okay.
And he said, worked with her. I've worked on her.
Oh, boy.
It was kind of funny.
Wow.
It was kind of funny.
The Kiss and Cher.
But that was always my favorite, you know.
That could be a dating game.
Rolling Stones, you know, all of them. So Prince comes out, and Prince doesn't talk.
Right, because he's a symbol.
So he performed instead.
Did he?
So he put on a private concert for the media.
Wow.
For 25 minutes.
That's pretty cool.
And even though I wasn't a fan of Prince, I knew I was in the presence of greatness. And I semi-enjoyed it.
Okay.
I wouldn't go to see Prince today.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would, it'd be a dirty situation, a big mess. But I don't know why you took me into Prince. But
I'm saying, we're talking about something.
I think I am going to buy Bob Seger tickets, though.
Are you really?
Bob Seger will be, I believe it's at Madison Square Garden.
Is that the Turn the Page guy or
The Silver Bullet? No, on the road is Willie Nelson.
I don't know.
But they're Friday night in New York, the day before the BMF belt goes.
Is Bob Seger the one that's is like up on the stage, sings a song like something like,
"What?
There go playing the star again."
Yeah,
is that him?
We're gonna say yes. I don't know.
Well, I'll look it up.
It's an awful impersonation that you're doing. So,
at least I didn't forget the words to it.
All right, so you wanted to do something. you wanted to do something talking about Khabib and Dustin Poirier and I'm sure you saw Poirier saying Conor McGregor, let's, you know, run this back. So what was the game you wanted to do?
Well, I mean, look, you got a guy like Dustin Poirier. He ran around with the lightweight, with the interim belt around. You can have images in your head as future, you know. So people are going to look back and be like, oh, man, he was such a good fighter. He fought some big guys and had some amazing fights. So, you know, they're going to look back on history like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and people will probably think that he at one point was a champion. But he wasn't. So I looked up the top 10, actually top 25 greatest athletes that never won a championship.
So you're taking the fake belt.
These are the closest runner-up top 10 who you would think with the name and the star power and how dominant they were at their sport or their position, but yet they never won a championship. And we can start at 25 and work our way down, or we can go 10, work our way to 1.
No, 25. That's all right.
All right. 25 is a guy I don't even know.
All right. Then start at 20.
Top 20 greatest players to never win a Super Bowl. I'll start at 22.
Well, this is just Super Bowl.
Well, no, I'm sorry. It's all sport. But okay. Number 22, Randy Moss. Randy Moss.
The first thing you think of when you think Randy Moss?
Driving over a parking meter attendant in a Mercedes G-Wagon.
Okay. The first thing I think of Randy Moss is when he makes the catch and he then laterals the ball over his head behind him. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, to another Raider who takes it in for the rest of the touchdown.
Number 21, Warren Moon. Warren Moon.
He didn't win anything in Canada, or that doesn't count?
It says, closest call, Houston Oilers lost the 91 divisional playoff to Denver. Number 20, Marcel Dionne. Stanley Cup hockey player. Number 19, John Stockton, the famed Jazz player.
Utah Jazz.
Number 18, Bruce Smith of the Buffalo Bills. Number 17, Frank Tarkenton.
Who?
Frank Tarkenton.
Frank?
Frank Tarkenton.
Okay.
Fran.
Yes.
Fran.
I was going to let you suffer.
What year was that? 73? I wasn't even born. You know what? He lost, his last loss was in 76, and that's when I won. I won life. Number 16, LaDainian Tomlinson. Played 11 seasons and never won the big game. Number 15, Ernie Banks. You would have thought Ernie Banks won a World Series, wouldn't you? I mean, think about the Cubs and like how big a name he was. So we're talking about fame. Athletes, celebrity athletes that never won a true championship, like never got to taste that champagne in the locker room. John Hanna, the 1985 season, he lost Super Bowl to Chicago Bears. Yeah, any comments on
it? I'm just listening.
Number 13, Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
How did Tony Gwynn not win anything? San Diego.
Well, that's why.
Because he played in San Diego?
Yeah.
Number 12, Allen the Answer Iverson. Never won the big dance. Brad Park, another hockey player. Number 10, top 10, the greatest athletes never to win the big dance.
You know Marino's in there.
Number 10, Ken Griffey Jr. probably the greatest pure swing, right? I mean, didn't he have the most best mechanics of any baseball
player? It was beautiful to watch. The game's not beautiful to watch, but his swing was.
Number nine, the round mound of rebounds.
Yep, that would be Charles Barkley, who chased the ring when he went out to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Carl Malone's coming up, who chased the ring when he went to the Lakers.
Dan Marino comes in number eight. Number seven, Anthony Munoz from the Cincinnati Bengals.
And then came to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Hall of Fame. A fantastic human being.
Number six, Dick Butkus. Never won the iconic Super Bowl ring.
Well,
he never even made it. He never even had an appearance at a Super Bowl.
I still remember the stories Ray Nitschke used to tell me. I told you the Dick Butkus story, right?
I think you did.
So there was a lot of hatred between the two, Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears.
Sure.
And I was doing some charity stuff, and Butkus was signing. So I went and I bought a helmet, and we were going to auction it off. And he was late. So I waited because I was first in line. I'm going to wait. I'll wait it out. Got it signed. I'm not stupid. I waited until it got signed. And then I said, Ray Nitschke would have never did this.
You got some cojones, Mr. Harris.
I guarantee that the autographs after were not as nice.
Scribbled and like real short.
Yeah.
Number five, Ted Williams, who actually took off three seasons to go to war. So I think he gets a pass.
No, he doesn't get a pass. He still didn't win.
Well, he still gets a pass, though.
But he's a hero.
He's a hero, for sure. Number four, Carl Malone, Utah Jazz.
I already said that.
I know.
I wonder how Ted Williams, you know, would feel, or, you know, any of these other athletes, or really anybody who went to war, if they feel like I do when they talk about a football game, we're going to war on Sunday.
Right.
Or the fight on Saturday. We're going to war on Saturday.
Well, what about the Arizona Cardinal football player that retired from the NFL to go to war and you know, just on a day of remembrance, you know? So you want to take a stab at the top three, Randy? Because the last three, the number one, the big dance.
Sport. Give me a sport.
All right. Number three is a baseball player. Biggest name baseball that never won the big dance.
I don't know.
Barry Bonds.
I wouldn't call him the biggest name.
Oh, he set the record for the most home runs. He's like the most dominant
player.
The most
puncture wounds.
What's that mean?
Whatever.
The juice? The juice is loose.
I'm not saying nothing.
We're not talking Simpson.
I would not say that Barry Bonds is the biggest name in the history of baseball.
To never win the big show? Biggest baseball player?
I'm not saying that.
He was so dominant, you would expect him to have a ring.
Well, not necessarily. Baseball's a team sport. One guy is not going to enable you to win.
UFC is a team sport.
No, it's not.
It is.
MMA. It's MMA.
Those guys talk about the corners, how you listen to your coach and the instruction and that a camp and a team and, like, being prepared. Like, it's not an individual sport. It's one guy inside that octagon. But
the team helps mold the athlete, but give me any of the top, Khabib, John Jones, Amanda Nunez. Do you think they even need a corner?
I don't know. Does Michael Jordan need a coach?
No.
Did he need Phil Jackson?
No.
I think he did.
No. I saw Dennis Rodman on ESPN with Scottie Pippen.
Okay.
And they were talking that 30 for 30 just came out. And they said they went out to dinner one night and they sat in a triangle. They didn't do it on purpose.
Offense? Yeah. For the offense?
They didn't do it on purpose. It just happened.
Here. Number two on the all-time 10 or 25 greatest athletes never to win a championship. Number two, Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And coming in number one.
Never tell you when the Super Bowl was here. I don't know if it was last time or the time before. I don't remember. They had the big fan expo.
Okay.
And I was walking through with my family, and there was one of the booths, and they were giving away a Barry Sanders football.
Okay.
And you had to be present. Well, I didn't even want to wait.
Okay.
I don't even want to win anything, but right. I certainly don't want to wait. So the kids wanted to stay and hang out, and we did these sand sculptures, and we did a bunch of stuff. So I threw my name in, and I still have the Barry Sanders football.
Oh, yeah.
I won it. It's the first thing that I've ever won. It was kind of crazy.
Wow.
All right, hurry up and get to one.
And number one, Ty Cobb.
Well, I wouldn't have known that.
Ty Cobb. So, I brought those up because, you know, Dustin Poirier is a great fighter, great athlete, But he'll go down in history. He probably will never have the championship
belt. And we don't know that until it's played out. We don't know. But you know what we do know?
What's that?
And this is playing out. We're going to go back up to Vancouver as we get ready for UFC on ESPN. On the phone with us right now, the undefeated Jimmy Crute. Jimmy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How you going?
We appreciate your time. Has anything surprised you in the 3.5 or so years of your professional fighting, being an undefeated fighter? Has anything surprised you so far?
Mate, there's so many surprises in this sport. You know, I couldn't name them all. I think the biggest surprise is when you get in the UFC, you realize the work finally starts. Now, getting to the UFC is one thing, but staying here is another. So I think that wasn't really a surprise. I already knew that, but that's like probably the thing that surprises the most people. They think once they get here, it's done. But no, you have to work harder once you're here.
It's funny that you say that, Jimmy, because that's what they say about winning a title as well. That, you know, it's the same thing. It's you know, you win it, and then you tend not to think that you have to do the same thing and stay busy and stay in the gym. And so that's interesting that you say that. Last time I'll bring up that zero. Do you think about that, or is it, you know, when people like me, you know, bring it up, that's when you think about the zero on your record?
No, I don't think about it. I think it's not a good thing to think about. I focus on performing well. And, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But I love to fight, so I'm not in this to have a undefeated record and be 50-0 or whatever. I just want to fight, so it doesn't really matter what happens.
When did you realize that you love to fight?
When I was a kid. When I was a little kid, I liked wrestling with my older brothers. I just really liked physical combat.
What's and I've asked some of the other guys this earlier. What's the funniest thing to ever happen to you during a fight? And the reason I'm asking that is we've asked this question many times, and I asked a fighter, and he said he was fighting Dennis Seber, who's German, and the corner was talking German, and so for about 8 or 9 seconds in the middle of his fight, he's watching, what's the movie?
Glorious Bastards.
So he sees that in the back of his brain while he's in the middle of a fight. Has anything crazy, silly like that happened to you?
Sorry, I didn't even hear what you said then. No, but it's something, something funny that's happened in a fight. No, I don't think anything really funny that's happened. No, not really. Funny story that happened before the fight was the day before the fight happened. I was warming up with my coach, Sam Greco, and we told him pads, and then he reached forward, and I wore forward, and he poked me straight in the eyes the day before the fight. That was pretty funny, but nothing really like that's happened during my fight.
Your last two fights were in your home country. What are, if any, are the obstacles of flying so far? Obviously, this fight's in Vancouver. You know, what do you have to bring that you know takes time to pack, or that you can't find in other countries that you would normally need and use at home?
There's no obstacles. It's a fight at the end of the day. You know, you might have to do a bit more. You might have to travel. But at the end of the day, it's a fight. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and complain about having to travel or whatever. It doesn't change a thing. It doesn't change a thing.
Do you get out and try to walk around and see a city? And, you know, I know this is a work trip, and that's all that's important is Saturday. But do you try to get to see it, or do you try to stay off your feet and lay in the room?
No, I get out every single day. I hate staying in a room. I go stir crazy. So I'm out and about looking around. And, you know, I just try and feel good on fight week. My main focus is to be happy and sort of do what I want. So whatever I feel like doing, I'm going to go do.
Give me your opinion or your thoughts on your opponent, Misha.
You know, I think he's a very, very good fighter, and I know that he's going to be the biggest test of my career, but I think I'm prepared well enough. I know I've prepared well enough, and all the respect in the world to him, but I'm going to try and take him out as hard as I can.
How much time, as you're in training camp and you're getting ready for a fight, how much time goes into studying your opponent compared to how much time is spent on just fine-tuning, you know, your game?
That's my coach's job. I do a little bit of study, but it's my coach's job. And they formulate a game plan for me, and I follow that. And, you know, I know what he does well. I look at him. I've got a pretty good mind for seeing, like, watching fights and then analyzing. So, you know, I do a little bit, but I just leave that up to my coaches. They know the fight game better than I do, so I just listen to them.
Saturday night on ESPN, what should we expect to see in your fight?
Violence. Very violent.
That's all I need to hear, right? That's all we need to hear is violence. Before we let you go, give me your thoughts on the main event, two of the biggest names in the sport, Cowboy and Justin.
Oh, that is such a good fight. I was stoked when they announced that. I like both of them. I really respect both their fighting styles. Cowboy's been one of my favorites since I first saw him, like however many years ago that was. So, yeah, it's a really hard fight for me to pick because I just like them both, but I think I'm always going to root for Cowboy no matter what.
There you go. Well, that is the main event Saturday night. Looking forward to it. Jimmy, thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold so we can get your address so we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time today.
Oh, you're a legend, man. Thank you.
Take care. That is Jimmy Crute, undefeated Saturday night.
Look at him calling you a legend. Driving the L word on you. Look at your face all blushing. It's cute. I like it.
Come on. Come on.
Don't get emotional. I mean, don't start crying.
Well, nothing wrong with crying.
Passion.
It is.
You want to read it? Here's a good quote for you. To err on the side of passion is human and right and the only way I'll live. Pat Tillman, who on a day of remembrance gave the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom of our country.
You know, I still struggle with that. You know, not on his decision. I struggle on how he lost his life.
The friendly fire.
To me, that's unexcusable. You know, I mean, there's mistakes, and mistakes happen all the time.
Sure.
And, you know, and mistakes shouldn't happen. But I think I've told you the story about my uncle.
No.
I've never told you the story?
I mean, I've heard a couple stories.
My uncle has since passed away, so I'm sure people can't hate him.
Okay.
You know, any more than they possibly could.
Right.
But he did almost the exact thing that happened to Pat Tillman.
Really?
So he was in charge of an island during the war.
Okay.
And he was given specific instructions, you know, whether it was via tele, whatever that thing was,
Morse code, or
signals or whatever. And I'm going to make it up because I don't remember which it was. All right. Do you understand that I'm making this up?
Yes.
I'm not making up what happened. I'm making up
the method in which he got the instructions.
Well, not what the instructions were.
Okay.
Because I don't want someone.
You weren't there, so we don't know.
I was not there. But it was regarding the mail plane.
Okay.
The plane that was dropping mail.
Sure.
That's a mail plane. Just like I could tell you some things that happen in the Navy when you put someone on a mail buoy watch, which is the funniest thing ever.
Okay.
So my uncle was given, and they were given instructions, the mail plane is going to come over the ocean, over the water. Well, a plane came over the mountain. The plane got shot down.
Oh, shot down the mail plane? See, that's why we tweet now.
Well, they didn't have Twitter back then.
Tweet saves lives.
Still unexcusable. Somebody made a drastic mistake, whether it was the pilot, whether it was the person, you know, and that bothers me. I mean, it bothers me that anybody loses their life.
Sure.
Okay. It bothers me that, you know, I should just shut up, but soldiers of other countries, I mean, I don't want them to lose their life per se. I mean, I guess I would rather them than us,
right?
But they're just doing what they're told, just like our fighters are doing, our soldiers are doing, our sailors are doing.
They're doing a job.
They're doing a job that they believe in.
Signed up to do.
That they believe in.
They don't even have to believe in it. That's their orders. Once you sign up, it's a blank check to follow command and do what the government's initiative or narrative is. Like, that's not your choice. You don't get to choose. I mean, you're doing your job.
And that.
But the real question is, was your uncle the one that shot down Earnhardt's plane?
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone. We're going to go hit another quick break. And coming up, one more guest who will be fighting Saturday night, Louis Smolka, will be coming up momentarily. and more shenanigans as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
UFC heads back to Tampa on Saturday, October 12th with Joanna Jędrzejczyk facing Michelle Waterson. See UFC Fight Night at Amalie Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
At Culver's, we cook our butter burgers pretty much the same as you would at home. Only the freshest Midwest beef will do. We're talking the highest quality three-cut blend. No shortcuts. Got it? Great. Then you'll need to master our signature press and sear technique. This is crucial. You may want to practice a few thousand times. Add real Wisconsin cheese, because why would you have cheese from anywhere else? Top with a lightly buttered toasted bun. Serve yourself with a big warm smile.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole cook-to-order butter burger thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
The Monday Night Players Show returns to the press box in Tampa for the 19th consecutive year from 7 to 8 p.m. during the football season, where we feature a different player every week. Please join us for the hour, ask a question or two, maybe get a photo or autograph, and enjoy the awesome press box food. That's the Monday Night Players Show from the press box, located at 222 South Del Mabry in Tampa, every Monday night, 7 to 8.
Yo, this is Platinum Mike Perry. You're listening to Knockout Radio. Make sure you watch me fight the Cowboy November 10th, UFC on Fox.
For what?
To the president of the Randy regime, or of winning the disgruntled employee of the month. And still...
I thought I gave you specific instructions.
Did I not? Was it Morse code, or how did you send it?
I sent it over the ocean. Okay. I told you to fix that liner.
Which liner?
The liner with Mike Perry. And you haven't. You need to get in on your bicycle. You need to ride over to the station, and you need to fix that liner.
All right. Like, well, he got a bicycle. I didn't get one.
I know.
I don't have one.
Well, I got one.
Cycle bike. What's it called?
A Jupiter bike.
That's it. Yeah. That's a nice product.
Yeah,
but speaking of Ann Still, bare knuckle boxing fighter Abby Velasquez got his own supplement line, Ann Still Nutrition. So congratulations to the entire BKFC Fight Club family.
Dave Feldman was in town yesterday.
Okay,
they shot some video, and for their event coming up next month.
Awesome.
And then he went down to Jim Allers.
Allers.
To film some stuff.
My boy.
It's going to be a good fight. I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing fight. It's going to be a great fight.
You know what else is going to be amazing?
Huh.
Monday night, when you can register for UFC tickets, BKFC
8
tickets, and the Tampa Bay food fight tickets.
A triple play.
Got moved back over to the Coliseum, which I like. It's closer for me.
And congratulations to you, Randy Harris. 19th consecutive year of the player show at the Press Box Sports Emporium.
It's not the 19th year of the show.
Right, but it's 19 consecutive at just that location, which is impressive. I mean, nothing in our today's modern era like lasts for duration. It's, everything's like a short flash in the pan. So for you to have that kind of longevity, kudos to your career, man. It's pretty impressive.
Well, and it's not so much, to be honest, you know, me or the show. It's the Buccaneers, the players. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say the B word. Smack, smack. I don't want to get sued. You know, the football. You know, I used to have a billboard that it had to say Tampa Bay football linebacker.
All right.
Because you got to be careful of certain words you can and can't say. We'll talk more about the player show Monday night, who the guest is going to be. We have a whole lineup over the next 8 to 10 weeks already scheduled. But right now, our final UFC fighter for today's program as we get ready for UFC on ESPN. Let's welcome Lewis Malka. Lewis, how are
you? Hey, what's up, man?
We appreciate you. First and foremost, what's it like? What's the life of a fighter like?
The life of a fighter is brutal, my man. It's endless practices, constantly trying to hustle, you know, make it from one place to another, watching your diet, trying to, you know, just balance your life and fighting, you know. I'm a father myself, so, you know, I'm trying to take care of my kid, take care of my wife, you know, spend time with them while also, you know, trying to make it to practices on time, make sure I get enough sleep, get the right nutrition, make sure I make it to my recovery. You know, it's hard.
You know, it's funny. I was in the Tampa Bay Buccaneer locker room yesterday, and we're always talking MMA. We're always talking about the UFC cards with all the football guys. And they were saying kind of the same thing that I'm going to say to you, that fans don't get it. They don't understand that you just don't show up on Saturday night 2 hours before the fight. And they don't know everything that you put in, not just weeks before, but months before and possibly years before.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I feel like a lot of athletes go through the same thing, you know. With sports in general, it's like we've been working for this since we've been children, you know. Like from your dad freaking throwing you the football in the yard to showing me how to throw my first punches, you know. Like we've been like learning, studying, perfecting our craft our entire lives. And people don't see that, you know. Like Michael Jordan said, it's like, oh, yeah, you guys all see like the shots that I make on the court, but you didn't see all the shots that I missed, you know. And it's just like, it's an endless grind, you know what I mean? It's just, it's hard. And people only see like glimpses of it on game day or fight night, but there's so much more that goes into it behind the scenes. And I don't know, man, fans are, I think, are starting to get a little bit better picture of it with like social media and just like the rise of like the internet and how the world's becoming more connected. But it is one of those things where it's like you kind of have to live it to really understand it.
Let me ask you this. A former UFC fighter, also a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, Marcus Jones, once told me that he didn't enjoy football. He was a number one draft pick, you know, had a nice career with the Bucs. He didn't enjoy football. He was just good at it. Do you enjoy the fight game, or are you just good at it?
I have my ups and my downs, man. Like, I feel like there's ups and downs to it, you know? There's certain days where I love it, you know? I love it. I have a great day at practice. You know, I feel great. I come home. I have a good meal. I feel healthy. I feel well-fed, well-rested. You know, like, I get to spend time with my family, and I love it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. And then there's days where it's, like, practice was rough. I got my ass kicked, and, like, you know, you start to doubt yourself. And you're like, fuck, why am I doing this? Is brutal. I'm getting the shit kicked out of me every day, and like it breaks you a little, you know. I think there's ups and downs with it, just like anything else in life.
And just in case somebody misunderstood, he said ship, SHIP. Yes, you know,
we're and kite.
You know, because we're getting ready to talk about Hawaii and you know, the water and stuff. So I just want to make sure that people knew that was about ship. Speaking of Hawaii, tell me a little bit about that. It's a place I've never been to that I really want to go to.
Hawaii is beautiful, man. It's a beautiful place. Great people. It's great food. Great weather. It's amazing. It's my home. I love it more than anything.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we live in Florida. We broadcast in Florida, and it's, I don't want to say it's similar, but it's close. It's the water. It was just voted the number one beach in the world. And so every time I think I want to go to Hawaii, I'm like, well, Tampa Bay is probably similar. But it's probably not, though, correct?
I think it's It is similar. There might be like little differences here and there. Like, I don't know exactly what your melting pot of cultures is, but Hawaii has like a melting pot of cultures from all over the world. And I think that's part of what makes it special. You know, you have people from Asia, America, Europe, Latin America, you know, like South America. And it's just like, it's a beautiful, like, melting pot of cultures. And that's part of what makes it special is all these people, like, getting along and living together and coexisting and sharing different things from their cultures with each other.
And, you know, I think you can get some of that by watching some of the shows like Hawaii Five-O. The old one and the new one, it kind of shows that, you know, which again is one of the reasons why, you know, I do want to get there. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you in the middle of a fight?
The funniest thing that's ever happened to me in the middle of a fight?
Strangest.
I'm going to be honest, not too many funny things have happened, you know. I think one of the funniest things would have been, when I was fighting Paddy Holohan, I saw McGregor screaming in the crowd, hit him in the body, while he was on my back, and I was, like, defending a choke and kind of looking at him, and I was like, what are you talking about? Why would he hit me in the body? That would accomplish, like, nothing right now. And then he hit me in the face, and I was like, oh, was this dude distracting me the whole time? Fuck, I gotta go back to paying attention. I was like, yo, he juiced me.
See, that is funny. That's pretty good. What goes into yours or really any, you know, athlete's walkout music? How do you decide what you're going to use? What are you looking for?
To be honest, I kind of just make it up. Whatever I'm feeling at the time, whatever music kind of like reflects my mood during, like, I guess the entire camp, during the entire process of getting ready for the fight is what I'll choose. Whatever I'm listening to.
At the time?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on your opponent, Ryan McDonald?
He's a big guy. He's tough. He's long. And he's a good fighter. He's 10-1, so he's very promising. But I feel like I'm a better fighter, and I'm going to try to get this win and try to grind him out.
When you're preparing for a fight, in this case, against Ryan, is it more what you're going to do to Ryan, or is it things that you need to worry about what Ryan is good at or what he possibly could do to you?
It's a little bit of both. I like to focus more on myself, but there are, like, aspects of defense and, like, aspects of the way that I'll attack him that are centered around, like, what he's capable of, you know. He's a long guy. He's got a long reach, so that needs to be taken into account before – you know, blindly rushing in there, trying to knock him out.
What should we and all of the MMA fans across the country and across the world, what should we expect to see Saturday night on ESPN?
You guys should expect entertainment, man. I am going out there. I'm trying to entertain you. I'm trying to have you enjoy your life for a little bit. You know, enjoy your Saturday by watching some fights, by watching some guy come out there and try to rip the arm off some other dude, you know, that's what I'm trying to give you.
Sounds good. Before I let you go, the main event, Cowboy against Gaethje. Who do you like in that?
I want to go with Gaethje, but I don't know, man. Cowboy does well when he has the reach, so we'll see.
Definitely going to be a good fight. It's going to be a great card, as a matter of fact. So, Lewis, I want to thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold real quick to get your address so we can send you a care package from Ape Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time today.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Saturday night on ESPN, and I can't wait.
You know what else Hawaii has? It's the new fighting series, the BJ Penn Street Fighter.
You're an idiot.
No. Did you see the video of him getting knocked out outside of a nightclub again?
You're just an idiot.
Dana White says he's banned from the UFC.
Yep.
And now, why is that? Is that because of the undocumented concussion that came from being knocked out and the risk for him to fight under a sanctioned, like, fighting event as a sport?
Because you can't do this. You know, you have to be, you know, able to walk away no matter what happens. No, if somebody comes and cold cocks you and hits you, you have to still be able to walk away.
Why does he have to walk away?
Because he has to.
He has to be able to defend himself. He can. He has a right to defend himself from Melvin, someone punching him.
Melvin Gilliard was on the show not too long ago. We talked about it. It was his job. He was a bouncer. You still, because your legal weapons, your hands are legal weapons. You have to be smarter than that.
Are my hands legal weapons?
No, your hands aren't nothing. They can barely make pizza.
Look, we have some of the most skilled precision fighting machines in the world coming here, and they can't stretch a dough. I dominate those guys.
Ken Shamrock told me a story.
Okay.
That he was in a bar once, and a guy came up to him and said,
"You're Ken Shamrock."
Yeah, I'm Ken Shamrock.
The world's most dangerous man.
The world's most dangerous man. Yeah, that's me. He goes, "Let's go outside. I'm going to kick your ass."
Okay.
And you know what Ken said? The same thing he said then when he told me this. He goes, "Yeah, you probably could. Let me buy you a beer."
So he diffused the situation. Right. But what if the guy just punches him in the face and after that exchange, you don't think Ken's going to defend himself?
I think Ken would probably kill him.
But did BJ didn't. I mean, he just got knocked out.
But also, you don't know the whole story.
We
don't know any of that stuff. You know, we don't know the whole story of the Connor thing, and I'm certainly not defending him. You know, you don't know, and everybody jumps to conclusions.
Well, these guys are targets. Well, I mean, they go out in public. They're celebrities. They're athletes. That's kind of why Khabib wants to do this $50 million charity fight, right? I mean, coming up, the next fight he wants to do for charity, because he says there's an obligation to celebrities, to sports figures.
It's easy for him to say. Again, he's not going to give the $50 million.
Right.
I want to give away pizza here for the rest of the rest of the time this pizza shop's
open. You do, and have for 10 years. that's your role. That's what you do.
Not everybody. Believe me, it's not just you. It's 8-Man Strong, too. They're like, how much more stuff are you giving me?
True.
I know. So a friend of mine has recently left the Tenors of Rock.
Oh, no.
Now they would
not Jimmy.
Tommy will rejoin.
Okay.
But Tommy is on the, I want to say worldwide, but we'll say the nationwide tour of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Really?
Okay. And Tommy's phenomenal, too.
Okay.
I mean, he's unbelievably talented. So I call 8-Man Strong and I said, can you send a box, not just to Tommy, but to the entire cast and crew of Jesus Christ Superstar. So don't complain to me when I give away your one pizza, because they're going to send a care package to everyone involved with Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, I need an 8-Man Strong care package for me and the rest of my staff.
I brought you enough. That's all you need.
Perfect.
Okay.
It looks good. I can't wait to try it on.
If you're nice to me, Jesus Christ Superstar comes to Tampa in May.
Oh, we definitely got to go.
I'm definitely going.
Oh, you and I are a team.
No.
Team Harris.
First of all, you're not a Harris, and you're not part of the team.
Well, when I marry the Harris sister chick, I'm whatever her name is, Jillian. I forgot her name already.
Well, when you legally change your name
to Harris,
we'll talk.
Done. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's go change it to Harris right now.
Styles G. White. Go do it.
What's that mean? Is that you change his name legally to Styles G. White?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't know that?
No.
Do you know who Styles G. White is?
He played football for the Bucks and the Browns.
Well, I don't know if he played for the Browns. He's just a Brown fan.
Oh,
and
okay.
He did jump on the Brown bandwagon before.
Or did he play with the
arena in Orlando?
Orlando. I don't know. Didn't he play for the Saints?
No. Well, he might have played with the Saints, but in arena, he was with Orlando.
Okay.
Jay Gruden was his head coach.
Right.
Jay called John. The rest is history. So Styles G. White, his born name is Greg White.
Okay, right.
Well, his favorite movie or his favorite character is from the Michael J. Fox Teen Wolf movie.
Okay.
Michael J. Fox's best friend's name was Styles.
Okay.
That's why he changed the name.
So why do athletes change their name legally? Like Ocho Cinco, Chad Johnson, the receiver for the Bengals. Is it tax purposes?
Tax has it. What's wrong with you?
No, but why would you change your name to like Ocho Cinco or who is like the mother of God? Or I mean, there's like, they change their names to like silly names. Like Snoop Dogg is like Snoop Lion or something.
Well, I don't know if he legally changed it, but
he did. He
changed it from Snoop Dogg to Snoop Lion because he got older. That was the reason, because he's no longer a dog. He's now a lion.
Like Prince changed it to a symbol. You don't think that's for tax purposes? Like, oh, that guy no longer is alive or exists. So we'll start a fresh
Prince
brand.
Prince changed it to a symbol because of his lawsuits with the music people.
The intellectual property of owning his name.
What's the basketball player? World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
world peace.
Who started a brawl in a Pacer game, went up in the crowd punching fans.
You know, I you can't do that, but well, I don't blame him.
But Khabib jumped over a fence and jumped in the crowd and started throwing piss, didn't he? Isn't that what he got in trouble for?
Yep. Yep.
So it's really no different. Meta world peace.
It's not. It's not. Well, the difference is there is a big difference. World peace, they threw something at him.
So they assaulted him first.
Yes.
Right.
You know, Khabib jumped over and went after people that
they were
yelling.
In a camp, but it's still assault. It's still assault, and you can't touch anybody anywhere.
I really don't understand how a lot of times these things happen. Like, Bader got assaulted.
Yeah, he got by Rampage Jackson.
Well, no, he got assaulted by Czech Congo at the weigh-in.
Oh.
When he shoved him. You shouldn't be able to do that. Well, I mean.
Workplace violence.
But you shouldn't be able to do it.
Did you see after the fight?
Yeah.
Rampage Jackson, what's he doing out there?
Rampage and Czech Congo, I guess, trained together.
Okay.
And I believe when Rampage, who I've been in Rampage's house, by the way.
Have you really?
In L.A. That was an interesting, very interesting. So Rampage gets up there and starts screaming at Bader and about he's going to come after Bader. And I think Bader said something like, didn't we already do this once?
I think he said, didn't my dad hold him back and nothing else happened?
Yeah. He said my dad held him back.
Bader's such a beast.
And then Brian said it was like he went back to the center and goes, we can do this again.
Yeah.
That was the fight. Matter of fact, I may get you one of those. I have the poster from Japan.
Oh, wow.
Of that fight because I went to that fight.
Is Rampage his legal name?
No, because his name's Quentin.
I'm going to change my name to Naked Pizza Man, and you're going to have to call me that.
Well, first of all, I don't have to do anything.
And then my network check, when I get my payroll check from the network for our show, it has to say, to Naked Pizza Man.
You know, you wonder if they do some of those people, if it does come in that way. You know, how about people that have the fake names? Does Elton John get a check that says Elton John? I don't know how he can. How can he legally?
How his accountant set it up.
But how can you legally open an account in an alias?
Unless an alias is your legal structured name.
Then Knucklehead, it wouldn't be your alias.
Well, then he can't go by his old name. If he changed it legally to Elton John, that's how he makes money. That's how he pays taxes.
Freddie Mercury, you think he had an account under Freddie Mercury?
I don't
know. Or under Farouk? So, I don't know. And I don't even know what that has to do with anything. But NFL Week 2, believe it or not, starts tomorrow night in Charlotte, North Carolina.
What starts there? A football game?
Week 2. I wanted to start the show with, and I'm glad that I kind of just ran off on that. Give me your thoughts, not that anybody cares, on Gerald McCoy and his comments.
Irrelevant.
So Gerald McCoy, I guess, has said, reached out to the Glaziers, whatever, and said, I am going to retire a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Eh.
A, that bothers me. B, I don't like it. I've never liked it.
If he wins a championship in Charlotte, he's not going to retire with the championship ring.
That's what my thinking is. You're telling the Carolina Panthers.
You're never going to win a ring.
Well, it's not about the ring. It's just saying no matter what we do here, I'm always going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
It's all about the ring. I mean, that's the only reason you play the game.
No, it's not.
Why? Well, for the money, for the paychecks?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe that.
But yeah,
you want to win.
If you win a championship, you don't want to be like memorialized with that helmet and jersey as.
Okay, first of all, Gerald McCoy's not going to the Hall of Fame, so he's not going to be having a bust and having to worry about all that, first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, if you go on to big things in Carolina, you can be in both Ring of Honors. I'm not saying he's a Ring of Honor in Carolina. He hasn't done anything. I believe he had zero tackles last Sunday. And I'm not saying he's going to be in the Ring of Honor here in Tampa either.
He's just consistent. Same uniform or different uniform, same results.
I love the new head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
He's a good dude.
Okay, so somebody asked B.A. about going up against Gerald McCoy and, you know, the emotions. And you know what B.A. said?
No.
Kwan just went through the same thing. Hopefully Gerald doesn't get kicked out. It was like, wow.
Love. You got to love. Tough love.
You know, it is what it is.
Well, it's like Belichick being asked about Antonio Brown and the new sex allegations, like the rape charges. And Bill didn't even get the question out. They're like, do you want to discuss? He's like, no.
There's nothing to discuss.
Bill.
Like, it's not that it's Bill. There's nothing to discuss.
Yeah, what's the deal? I mean, I know it's not funny, but like, did you see the meme that the first picture of the female who had charged AB came out and is a picture of Gruden with long hair? It's so funny.
That's not right.
It's not funny.
That's not right. And don't laugh at things like that.
But it's on my Facebook. I'll have shared later.
I'm sure it will. Funny. All right. So Monday night out at the Press Box, it'll be the inaugural 2019 player show. We haven't yet revealed. We will later today. Come on out and register for the UFC tickets, for the bare knuckle tickets. We'll also register for the Tampa Bay Food Fight tickets. And if you'd like more information, it's easy to get it. Just hit me up on Twitter, at Knockout Radio.
At Nick Pizzaman 1.
See everybody in 2 weeks. There will be no show next week. See everybody in 2 weeks. Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place. Watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game? Hey, this is Deonta the Bronze Bummer Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com. and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.